40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
The indomitable Lions of Cameroon will play the Pharaohs of Egypt in Sunday's 31st Africa Cup of Nations football final in Libreville, Gabon. The indomitable Lions advance to the title match Thursday with a 2-0 victory over the Black Stars of Ghana, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
Cameroon will face Egypt on Sunday in the 2017 African Cup of Nations finals after the indomitable Lions defeated Ghana Black Stars 2-0 in the second semifinal match played on Thursday evening in Franceville. Two second-half goals from defender Michael Ngadou and Christian Basagog on the 75th and 90th minutes earned Cameroon the victory. Cameroon coach Hugo Bros described his team of players as an exemplary group on and off the pitch.
I'm 29 years coach, and I never had a group like this. This is a group of 23 friends. I never saw this. In a football team, it's here. There are just 23 friends who like to play football and who are doing everything to win the game. So for me, it's very easy as a coach.
The coach said they deserve to be in the finals.
Players who don't like each other, then you have sometimes very, very much problem with those who are on the bench. This is not a problem for me. This is not a problem for this group. The only thing they want is to win.
For his sport, Avram Grant could not hide his dejection after Ghana's 2-0 defeat to Cameroon in the African Cup of Nations semifinals, but he insisted it has been a good tournament for the Black Stars.
My future is not important now. It's important now that we lost this game and so important game, so I don't think even about this now. My team lost. We lost after we had a very good tournament. It was, if you look back, it was difficult to overcome the missing of two key players like Baba and Jan. Even we did a good job also without them. And this is what important for me now.
The Cameroon-Egypt final on Sunday is a remake of the 2008 finals. Egypt reached a record-equaling ninth African Cup of Nations final, defeating Burkina Faso 4-3 on penalties on Wednesday evening after a 1-1 draw. The last trophy the Egyptian won was in Angola 2010, while the indomitable Lions are targeting their fifth title, having won their last in Mali 2002. The Pharaohs of Egypt's team manager is Ehab Lehata, and he knows title number 8 will be historic for the Egyptian as a team and the country.
We have been for the last couple of years, we have been concentrating, doing our all effort to have Egypt back again. And I believe this is a good image for Egypt, for this tournament and also for the World Cup. But anyhow, this is history, but at the end, it's sometimes history is good, sometimes this is bad, but at the end, we are doing our best to be successful.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. The Voice of America officially celebrated its 75th birthday on Wednesday. And here's a little VOA history lesson for our listeners. We just heard Irish singer Van Morrison with his 1978 song Wavelength. In it, Van the Man pays tribute to the Voice of America. Van Morrison listened to the VOA during his adolescent years, when he would hear the sounds of some of his favorite musical artists like Ray Charles singing, "Come back, baby, come back. Won't you come back, baby? Come back, come back. Van the Man coming back. Yes, indeed." Right here on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, here's a fun Nations Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners. Ahead of Sunday's Egypt versus Cameroon final in Libreville, this marks the third time the Pharaohs and the Indomitable Lions have played each other for the Nations Cup trophy. In 1986, playing at home in Cairo, the Pharaohs beat the Indomitable Lions 5-4 on penalty kicks. And in 2008, in Accra, Ghana, the Pharaohs won again, beating the Indomitable Lions 1-0 on a goal by the now-retired Egyptian star Mohamed Aboutrika in the 76th minute. Still with the Nations Cup, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the 85-year-old South African Sangoma Nozo Zintoyinto, who tossed her seashells and correctly forecast an Egypt-Cameroon final. My buddy in Johannesburg, Darren Taylor, sought out her predictions ahead of the semifinal matches. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Darren's Nations Cup feature.
A thunderstorm rages east of Johannesburg. Rain hammers the corrugated iron roof of a small house in a bleak township. An elderly woman, strings of white beads around her wrinkled neck, head and wrists, sits on a cement floor in a corner of a room. Eighty-five-year-old Nozo Zintoyinto is from the Xhosa ethnic group. She's been a Sangoma for more than 60 years. Zintoyinto explains that a deceased ancestor appeared to her in a dream when she was a teenager and called her to be a Sangoma. Then a senior traditional healer trained her to interpret signs from the spirits, to heal people, and also to forecast the future. Zintoyinto's services are not free, and lately, she says, business is good.
I don't know much about soccer, but since this AFCON thing started, lots of men have been coming to me. They ask me to predict the results of games. Then they go to the betting places to put bets on the teams I think will be the winners.
Zintoyinto shakes a handful of seashells and throws them on an orange blanket on the floor. She says her ancestors help her to interpret events based on how the shells land.
The shells told me before the AFCON competition that Ivory Coast and Senegal would not do well. I told one of my clients this. Then he put 100 rand each on Ivory Coast and Senegal being knocked out. That is what happened. So the man, he won a lot of money.
But, Zintoyinto quickly adds, neither she nor the spirits are infallible. She says some ancestors are mischievous and some make mistakes. So whatever prophecy she delivers should only be used as a guide.
These is the shells that tell me who is going to win. You must remember, the shells are always correct. They are the connection with my ancestral spirits. But sometimes I must admit I don't interpret the shells 100% right. Because when I'm busy with the shells, The ancestors are making a lot of noise in my mind.
The first AFCON semi on Wednesday features outsiders Burkina Faso against the competition's most successful team, Egypt. The Pharaohs are bidding for their eighth tournament win.
The spirits are showing me players dressed in red. They are celebrating. They have light skins. They are not black Africans.
Her words point to a victory for Egypt. In Thursday's semi, one of the title favourites, Ghana's Black Stars, will battle Cameroon's Indomitable Lions. Both are four-time competition winners, but soccer analysts have labelled Cameroon the underdogs.
The ancestors are shouting a lot. They are disagreeing about this match, but most are telling me Cameroon will win.
So according to the Sangoma, it'll be a Cameroon versus Egypt final. And which team will prevail? Zinto Yinto smiles, shakes her head slowly and says, "That's too far in the future. Come see me on Friday, then I will tell you." For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
More Nations Cup football news. The 2019 tournament will be hosted by Cameroon. So I'm sure there are many football fans in Cameroon right now thinking, wouldn't it be nice to be holding that trophy when the next African football showpiece kicks off? This will be the second time Cameroon has hosted the big tournament. It also staged the African Football Jamboree in 1972 when Congo Brazzaville won the trophy. Heading into Sunday's Egypt-Cameroon final, Junior Kabananga of the Democratic Republic of Congo is the tournament's high scorer with three goals. Michael Ngadjwi of Cameroon and Mohamed Salah of Egypt have each scored two goals in the competition, so it's possible one of them could win the Golden Boot as high scorer if they can get a couple of goals on Sunday.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Happy Friday, Doug.
Great to be here on this pre-Super Bowl Sunny Side of Sports.
I'm guessing maybe some Super Bowl trending is going on out there in the sports world?
You know, here it is. It's the 51st Super Bowl coming up Sunday, and you just can't get away from it, frankly. both in person, I think, and on social media, which is no surprise. Now, a lot of the talk on social media is about the actual game. Imagine that. Of course, the New England Patriots facing off against the Atlanta Falcons. And it's also not a big surprise. I mean, the Patriots have been to 9 Super Bowls. They've won 4 of them. They're looking to add a 5th with the combination of Coach Belichick and Tom Brady. Excuse me, I'm a little hoarse today. But it's also, as I say, not a secret. I think there's not a lot of the country would like to see, I think, the Falcons kind of.
I think they're probably the underdog, maybe.
Definitely the underdog, although not by much. 538, which is the kind of sports and political ranking site, different people are giving different odds. They're giving it a 60-40% chance the Patriots take the victory. So that's, you know, that's almost a push as far as I'm concerned.
Two great quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Matt Ryan, who's some think might win the Most Valuable Player award. Maybe a high-scoring Super Bowl, Doug?
Yeah, you know, and this, you know, sometimes you hear talk about, oh, this is a real defensive matchup or that sort of thing. I think this is really an offensive matchup that we're going to see on Friday. You've got two superstars. Matt Ryan, I think, is not as well-known, not as well-established as Tom Brady. But you know, wow, just watching him this season, you know, he's really got it all. He's got the whole package. He can move on his feet. You know, that's one thing. I'll just throw this out as well. You know, Tom Brady is amazing in the clutch, but he's not a fast guy.
No, he isn't.
He's 6'4", and he kind of lumbers, you know, down the field. Now, he gets done what he has to get done, but then you look at someone like a Matt Ryan, and I think this could be, you know, a genuinely kind of exciting game to see. And like you say, a high-scoring game. Let's just hope it doesn't become a runaway. Those are always just boring games. And then we're just left with the halftime and the soup and the commercials.
Well, I know you mentioned the Puppy Bowl earlier in the week about the Super Bowl, and I think I got the guy who does the Puppy Bowl, Jimmy Fallon.
I think he
does that on the Tonight Show.
Yes, indeed. Right.
He puts out a couple of plates of dog food or puppy food, and the puppies that go to the right bowl.
Exactly. You know, picking. There's all kinds of, you know, people having fun with, you know, the octopus in the aquarium that picks the Super Bowl winner by, you know, which helmet does it sort of latch onto and try and get the treat out of, all these kinds of things. And there's, you know, the Super Bowl isn't just about the game. There really is a whole sort of environment around it. About what happens before the game, in the halftime, and what happens in all of those TV intermissions as well. So it's really, it really is an event, I think.
In terms of that event, Doug, what about the entertainment? What can you tell our VOA listeners about the entertainment at the Super Bowl?
Well, we know that Lady Gaga will be performing in the halftime program. This is the second time that she's performing in the halftime, Super Bowl halftime, but before she was with Beyonce. So this is her first time by herself. It's very unusual that the entertainment these days is just one performer. Generally, they sort of mix it up and, you know, a lot of pizzazz and whatnot. In fact, Lady Gaga was speaking with members of the media just the other day, kind of giving a little bit of a preview as to what might be coming up. She says she didn't want to give too much away. They want to, you know, really kind of keep people hopefully viewing. But she did say, quote, I will say it's a tremendously athletic show, high adrenaline. And she said she likened it to you know, the game itself. You have these massive players just kind of crashing into each other. It's an athletic performance, and she's hoping that her performance will be athletic as well. Now, one thing that we don't know is how political her performance is going to be. She's a person with strong opinions. Many performers have strong opinions. Sometimes that goes over well in a Super Bowl performance. Sometimes that doesn't. But she's kind of keeping a little mum about what she may or may not say. Let's take a listen.
Well, I don't know if I will succeed in unifying America. You'll have to ask America when it's over. But the only statements that I'll be making during the halftime show are the ones that I have been consistently making throughout my career. I believe in a passion for inclusion. I believe in the spirit of equality and the spirit of this country as one of love and compassion and kindness. So my performance will uphold those philosophies.
Inclusion, compassion, kindness, these clearly touching on some emotions that have been stirred this week by President Trump's executive order regarding travel restrictions, temporary travel restrictions from various countries.
What about with the advertisements, Doug? I know, can they be political in nature in regards to the Super Bowl?
Generally speaking, not. I think generally speaking, advertisers really try to steer away from politics because they want to bring in as many customers and as much goodwill for their product as possible. So why begin by alienating a third or a half of the country?
Exactly.
Company? So, but I think what they do try and emphasize is there are commercials that are funny. There are commercials that are sort of, you know, very heartrending. There are commercials that are just kind of strange and out there. I think of some of the commercials for GoDaddy, which is the web firm. They've kind of been out there on the edge, a little risque. So this year, we don't know, you know, what exactly we're going to see. We do know this. We do know that there is the first Super Bowl commercials cost about $42,000 for 30 seconds. This year, 30 seconds costs over $5 million.
Wow. So
that is a ton of money for companies to spend. It's a ton of money for CBS, who has the broadcast rights. And one of the commercials that we do know about is from Anheuser-Busch. They advertise every year. They often have two commercials, probably. And one of the commercials, again, touching back on this discussion, I think, that people are having as America is a nation of immigrants, focuses on Adolphus Busch, who is one of the co-founders of Anheuser-Busch, which makes, you know, Busch beer and Budweiser and whatnot. And this ad very much focuses on his experience, Adolphus Busch, as a new immigrant in coming to the United States. Tony Case, who's the executive editor of Adweek, spoke a little bit about the commercial and its meaning.
It's a 60-second ad, but also sort of touches on the topic of immigrants, which is a very hot topic. Now, Budweiser says they did not intend that, but at the same time, they have the social media team at the ready on Super Bowl Sunday to answer anything that might happen in the social media sphere.
That's also a very important company. Really, they invest so much money in these advertisings that they're also very present on social media during the Super Bowl just to perhaps tamp out any fires that may erupt.
You mentioned the cost of a 30-second Super Bowl ad, Doug, $5 million. Do you think they make that up in sales down the road after the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, you think advertising has always been a bit of a mystery to me. I mean, you think it works, but we don't know that it really works. One would gather that if they're investing that much money, they expect to see a return on that investment. You know, but who knows exactly? I mean, I think a few years ago, a great Volkswagen commercial, a little kid, you know, kind of dressed up as Darth Vader, and he's trying to control the dog or trying to control the oven or whatnot. And he goes out and he's doing his Darth Vader thing at the Volkswagen car, and his father's indoors, and he sort of surreptitiously starts the car up and totally, you know, shocks the kid. Very heartwarming. Now, did Volkswagen, you know, however much they paid to make it and however much they paid to air it, did they make all that money back? Who can say? I don't know. But it does create a lot of attention and a lot of word of mouth in the week after the Super Bowl.
Big weekend coming up in sports. We have the 31st Africa Cup of Nations football final in Libreville, Gabon, and the 51st Super Bowl of American-style football in Houston, Texas. Thank you, Doug, for your insights.
Thank you. Can't wait till Monday.
And that wraps up the February 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States is determined to disrupt the illicit flow of money from the trade of oil and trafficking of antiquities to the terrorist group Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL. Toward this end, the U.S. Department of State's Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $5 million for information leading to the significant disruption of the sale and/or trade of oil and antiquities by, for, on behalf of, or to benefit ISIL. Through its illegal oil operations and trafficking in looted archaeological material from Syria and Iraq, ISIL has generated millions of dollars in hard currency, enabling it to brutalize and oppress innocent civilians. This is the first time the U.S. Secretary of State has authorized a Rewards for Justice offer for information that could be used to disrupt the sale or trade in oil and antiquities by or on behalf of a terrorist organization. Anyone with information on oil and antiquities trafficking that benefits ISIL can contact the Rewards for Justice office via the website at www.rewardsforjustice.net or by email at info@rewardsforjustice.net or by standard mail at Rewards for Justice, Washington, D.C., 20520-0303. USA. Individuals in North America can also call this phone number, 1-800-877-3927. All information will be kept strictly confidential. The Rewards for Justice program is administered by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Diplomatic Security. Since its inception in 1984, the program has paid in excess of $125 million to more than 80 people who provided actionable information that put terrorists behind bars or prevented acts of international terrorism worldwide. Follow us on Twitter at https://twitter.com/rewardsforjustice, as in the numeral 4.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.